Hey, Sean.
Hello, John.
Hello. You know, we're no stranger to talking about polls on this podcast.
We have done that a few times.
But I got to thinking that there were some poll results that came out this week that just really merit looking at specifically.
Yeah, because sometimes polls follow kind of at least what you think is a logical trend, or they're cohesive, or just generally make sense. They all fit together. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you get a bunch of different poll results that, I don't know, they make you say,
what's up with that? What's up with that?
Yeah, and that's where we were this week with some polls that came out from Marquette University and NBC Marist in the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race.
Well, this is the WPR Politics Podcast, so let's talk about it. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
This week, let's talk about poll numbers that make you say, what up with that? And for anyone who isn't familiar with recurring sketches from early 2010s Saturday Night Live, that was Kenan Thompson playing one of his characters and singing a song called What Up With That. I don't know, kind of a deep cut there, but we like it.
If you stayed and watched Saturday Night Live through the first hour and a half, sometimes you'd get to see that sketch every now and then. And now on the internets, look it up.
Anyway, so it's just me and you, Sean. Laurel is out this week. She's on vacation/honeymoon. So I think we're going to have to carry this one all on our own without Laurel's insight. But let's give it a shot. So polls.
We had a couple polls come out this week involving the governor's race. And, you know, like we were saying in the introduction, sometimes you expect kind of a trend in a poll. You expect a cohesive result from competing pollsters.
And then, what's up with that? What's up with
okay, that? I cannot talk over that. I can't talk over that.
I know
we're all saying what's up with that. It's getting in your head. It's in my head too. But I can't think about, you know, margin of error and stuff.
All right.
When
all
that's
right.
Happening.
Say your piece.
All right. Thank you. So what we had this week were two polls that told a different story. In fact, the Marquette poll that came out this week told a different story from the one a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'll remember, a month ago, the Marquette, their September survey showed Tony, you remember.
I remember it like it was a month ago.
Yep. Showed Tony Evers up by 5 over Governor Scott Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And this followed other polls that showed him slightly trailing Scott Walker, tied with him, up slightly, and then he's up by 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's following a trend, and it seemed like that was where the election was going potentially. This poll comes out and says, actually, Scott Walker is up by 1 in October.
What up with that?
A bucking of the trend. So there are potentially logical explanations for this. There was a different sample in this poll, a more Republican sample.
Mm-hmm.
So in the September survey, there was a +1 Democratic sample. That's people who identify as Democrats. Or when the people who make these phone calls for Marquette press them, I don't know. I haven't been on the other end of this interview segment, but I wonder how if the interviewers get really pushy, like when somebody says like, "Nah, I'm an independent," and they're like, "Nah, come on, pick a party.
Come on, and come on.
Seriously.
Which way you lean?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Are you an R or a D? Okay. And then the, anyway.
We'd be great pollsters, just
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, we would get an excessively high hang-up rate, probably. Sorry, man, we didn't make it past question 3 again.
You know what would be a good hip-hop name if we're a duo? Would be like Margin of Error.
Ooh, yeah. I don't feel like we deserve that name, though. That's like, I feel like if Marquette University poll director Charles Franklin had a garage band, that'd probably be his.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he's probably good.
Maybe he had one. I don't know. I'm sure he'll let us know if we've struck a nerve here. So you look at the sample size, and this sample, instead of being +1 Democrat, was +3 Republican. So that's decidedly more Republican than the last survey. You got to, you know, more Republicans are answering these questions. It's more Republican than Marquette's long-term trend. And So I guess by that,
you're asking
math,
more Republicans would say we support the Republican.
That in a way, it's kind of that simple, right? But we tend to take the Marquette poll as kind of the, you know, the gospel truth of what's happening in Wisconsin. And in large part, I mean, that's, they're transparent about their methodology. They interview a lot of people. It's a monthly show for us, you know. We all tune in at lunch, and I mean, why wouldn't you? But there are other polls out there on occasion. NBC Marist, which Marist is a respected polling firm nationally. And so NBC Marist came out with a poll showing Tony Evers leading Republican Governor Scott Walker by 10 points in a head-to-head contest.
I think we should point out the Marquette poll results we were talking about were in a three-way race with the Libertarian candidate. And so the Marist poll knocks it down to, what, an eight-point lead when
that
it's a three-way
correct.
Race?
Yeah, so that you're right. The Marquette poll included Libertarian Phil Anderson. The Marist poll included the Libertarian and Green Party candidates. And, yeah, it was down to 8 points.
But still,
an eight-point Evers lead, even in that
different
scenario,
different than
right?
a one-point Walker lead.
Yeah. So thankfully, Marist pollsters put out this I don't know, article, note, footnote, something. Mm-hmm. They put words out there, and they said, "So what explains the difference between the two polls?" Oh yeah, I was wondering that. Thanks you. So I read on. Number one, the polls use different likely voter models. Marquette's model is based exclusively on voters certain to vote. Marist's uses a probability model based on interest, chance of vote, and past vote.
So that's what's up with that.
That's what's up with that. Also, voter ID. Marquette's sample among likely vote. That's not voter ID like our voter ID law, but that's how they put this header here. Marquette's sample among likely voters was R+3. Marist's was D+1. And that's not the first time that Marist has been a little bit different from Marquette, you know, where Marist has had a larger Evers lead than, you know, Marquette when they look at this race. So, but, you know, just reading what the pollster said there, I'm not sure that it exactly answers the age-old question.
What up with that?
I'm not sure. In my mind, I kind of want to know more. I want to talk to the pollster and be like, what do you mean? Unfortunately, she is not here with us.
If we want to look at trends, getting back to the Marquette poll real quick, what could account, aside from the sampling, for ways the race has changed between September and now?
Well, I mean, we have seen more ads in this race. Okay, if you accept that Marquette's poll numbers were accurate, one thing that they looked at was favorability for these candidates, and who knows them. So, you know, back in, let's look at Tony Evers, for example. Back in September, 31% had not heard of Tony Evers, and his favorability numbers were 40 favorable, 29 unfavorable. So now in October, more people have heard of him. Only 20% had not heard of him. So that number went down, but in the process, it was his unfavorables that went up. Now he's 40-38. So as people are hearing about him,
more people know him, not as many people like him.
Yeah, like before it was like, no, I ain't heard of the guy. Now it's, oh, yeah, I heard of him. Not favorable from roughly 10% of people.
And there have been a lot of, you mentioned ads, a lot of them are negative ads from Walker, from, you know, Walker-aligned groups.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely ads from both sides, but the Republicans I have the financial edge in this race, and there's no sign that that's going to go away between now and November. They're here in a big way for Governor Scott Walker.
All right. So moving on between one poll that shows Walker leading and one poll that shows him trailing, which raises its own what up with that questions. How about we talk a little bit about the U.S. Senate and the issue where, you know, there's some disagreement in the Walker governor poll. But both Marist and Marquette seem to show that Tammy Baldwin is leading.
Yeah. So here's another thing. I mean, you kind of think that a poll of that's a Republican sample in Wisconsin, the Marquette poll, that shows Governor Walker getting better numbers over Tony Evers, is going to show the same thing for Leah Vukmir. I can't operate like this. I can't operate like
people
this.
Wanna
Kenan
Thompson. People want to know.
I'm okay. I also want to know what up with that.
So all right,
we're going to take a stab at it here. Okay. So let's look at the Marquette poll first. Again, this is a Republican sample. It showed Governor Walker up on Tony Evers. Last month, the Marquette poll showed Tammy Baldwin up 11 points on Leah Vukmir. It's logical to expect if this is a more Republican poll, Leah Vukmir is going to gain quite a bit of ground, too.
She would have more of an edge there, yeah.
But in this poll, Tammy Baldwin still had a 10-point edge over Leah Vukmir. So what up with that?
I don't know. I'm counting on you to tell me.
I don't know, man. I can't tell you for sure, but we can look again at favorability in this race, in the race for U.S. Senate. So, you know, last month, 36% of people had not heard of Leah Vukmir, and her favorability numbers were not good. They were 26-38. She was, as they say, underwater.
As they say.
They do. It's kind of a dark phrase.
That's what
really,
they say, like, about mortgages and political candidates.
Yeah, if you're polling, if you have more unfavorables than favorables, you're underwater. So how does it look this month? Well, she, Leah Vukmir, about 10% more people know her, which is about what happened with Tony Evers, give or take. So all right, more people know her. How's that underwater thing going? Not going well for Leah Vukmir. So she's 30-43 this month in favorable, unfavorable. So her numbers there got worse, even with this Republican sample.
Which is a tough spot to be in, you know, a month before an election.
It is a tough spot to be in a month before an election. And, you know, it's possible that you're seeing this play out in the campaign in some small ways. I mean, they had their first Senate debate this week. You know, I'm sure you all stopped what you were doing and watched.
Stop
it.
Stop everything.
Yeah.
There's a Senate debate.
Yeah. Like, oh, we could get excited about Monday Night Football, or we could watch the Senate debate.
You watched it.
I did. And I was kind of wondering going into this, given where Leah Vukmir was at in the last Marquette poll, if she would feel pressure to be the aggressor in this debate. In fact, that's what happened. I mean, if anybody watched that debate, I think you would say that she was clearly the more aggressive of the two candidates, attacking Tammy Baldwin from the get-go and really never let up. I would say she was actually more aggressive than I was expecting. And the contrast between her style and Tammy Baldwin's style, which is not that. I mean, Tammy Baldwin is just very... I mean, I don't know. I've struggled with the word to use for this, but I'd say measured up there. And she's not going to go for the jugular like that. It couldn't have been more stark between the two of them in the debate that night. So
it's something you'd expect, maybe, from they're both sort of playing their parts, because Baldwin, you know, I mean, it's probably partially personality or whatever, but also not being an attack dog or not counter-striking is something. I mean, she's won a Senate race before.
Right. And this is, it's different, but I think it's kind of an approach that Scott Walker has taken in previous debate cycles during his, in previous campaign cycles during his debates, where he's clearly not the aggressor. Mm-hmm. I remember one that he had with Mayor Tom Barrett in the run-up to the recall, where I've never seen Barrett like go after Walker or anyone like he did in that debate, you know, and Democrats after that debate were like, oh my gosh, he brought the heat. And, you know, Walker was just not going to engage and, you know, he won. Spoiler, he won.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. So
he's governor.
So I just, it's sort of reminiscent of the strategy he took. They're different people. Nobody's going to mix up Tammy Baldwin and Scott Walker. But they're not, they've not been ones to go up in the debate stage in their electoral circumstances and bring the heat.
It's a political approach that they seem to have found that works for them.
It's what they have in common.
So speaking of...
Oh, wait, we should, John, we should talk about that Marist poll.
Ooh, all right.
It doesn't really fit because it's not quite a what up with that. Because, you know, the other polls, they don't, they're like, oh, this doesn't make any sense. This is... I don't understand anything. Nothing works. So, but in the Senate race, they had Baldwin up on Vukmir 54-40 among likely voters. So a larger lead for her, you know. But it wasn't like it would have been a crazy what up with that if they're like, yes, we had a more Democratic sample and Leah Vukmir is winning our poll.
Yeah.
You know,
then it was just a complete inverse then of the Marquette poll.
We just give up on polls at that
right.
point.
Like, then we just play Kenan Thompson the entire time.
Yeah, we'll just play it on
year to election
on
day
a loop.
On loop.
Every podcast is
I would
just,
be okay with that.
I'd probably listen, honestly. Yeah.
So as I was saying, polls, numbers, Wisconsin transportation.
Oh, yeah.
How's that for a segue?
Good one. Vroom. let's get on this information superhighway.
That's the internet you're talking about. Oh, you're not even using the right metaphor.
This is just horrible. A crash and burn.
Ooh. So anyway, for something completely different that makes us also ask what up with that, there were some numbers related to a question about the gas tax and numbers related to what people thought about Wisconsin roads.
Yeah, this was interesting because we've talked about a lot about roads as one of the major issues facing Wisconsin state government. And, you know, the condition of roads, according to studies that we've looked at, has worsened over time. And, you know, there's some signs out there.
You've got to accept it, man. It's just going to keep happening.
I have things to say, Kenan Thompson. What up with your interruptions?
I love how in this bit we're just besmirching Kenan Thompson as if me playing this track over and over again at Sean's expense has something to do with Kenan. Sorry, Kenan.
I'd like to think that he'd be cool with it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's a regular listener, so
right.
We respect your craft, and we know you really have nothing to do with this bad shtick.
When he's not busy, like, having fun and being famous, he's just like, what's going on in Wisconsin politics? What up with that? Okay. So you had a couple findings in this poll, which they're a little bit at odds. So what it found was that when people were asked about the conditions of roads, 64% of residents said Wisconsin roads were in fair or poor condition. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, 61% said they did not want to pay higher taxes or vehicle registration fees, higher gas taxes.
What up with that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Those two things seem entirely at odds.
Yeah. I like to look at these findings through the lens of a policymaker, let's say, a legislator / governor, and then again through the eyes of a campaign operative.
Mm-hmm.
So for a policymaker, they look at this and say, like, wow, 64% of our constituents say that our roads are, fair or poor. There's a problem.
We need to do something about that. Let's
I was
get
sent
better
to Madison
roads.
To solve problems. Let's solve this problem. Oh, wait, representative, senator, or governor. There's this other finding. 61% say they really don't want you to go out and get any money to deal with said problem.
Right. We have no revenue to fix potholes and what have you.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to pay higher gas taxes.
So if you're wondering why they seem to argue about this issue constantly at the state capitol, but don't agree on a long-term fix.
Maybe it's because of that.
Maybe it's because of the what up with that views of Wisconsin residents.
I feel like maybe they'd just be not even asking what up with that. They're just like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yes, I think that's the appropriate question. Yeah, and it probably varies on a district-by-district basis. Marquette actually did break that down even more to, you know, if you think your roads are really bad, you're more likely to be open to some kind of a tax increase to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at these findings through the eyes of a campaign operative.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. I'm a Democratic campaign operative. 64% say that the roads are fair or poor. I've got an idea.
Who's responsible for those roads?
But it's that Scott Walker governor fellow that we're running against. Let's run some ads against him, blaming him for the condition of the highways. We'll call them Scott Holes. This is a winning issue for us.
Mm-hmm.
But a Republican operative says, wait a minute, people don't want to raise taxes to pay for roads.
You know that Tony Evers fellow? What has he said?
He said he's open to raising taxes for roads, and our governor has said he's not. Let's run ads about that.
So it's an easy thing to make political fodder out of, but it's sort of an intractable problem in terms of governing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at.
I think so. That's a lot of things, I think. Walker's actually running his own ads on this that are, they play on those video screens that are on gas pumps, some gas pumps, you know, if you're pumping gasoline, instead of just, you know, staring off into the distance and
instead
being
of having
alone
a
with your thoughts.
Quiet moment, yeah. Pumping your gas.
Yeah, there's an ad. And he knocks on the screen, which is kind of, whoa, you know, gets your attention a little bit. So that's definitely one of the big issues that's being highlighted in TV ads.
So to add to the what up with that factor just a little bit, to dial it up even more, it's not all taxes that people say they're not willing to pay. It's specifically gas taxes or vehicle registration, you know, fee increases that they're not down with.
Yeah.
They say, we're okay paying more maybe for schools or for some other services, but it seems like there's something having to do with the gas tax specifically that they don't want to pay.
Yeah, and I can't answer what up with that, John. I'm not quite sure. But you're exactly right. In fact, Marquette phrased this question the same way that they did other questions about would you, you know, be willing to pay more property taxes for schools. I should have the exact wording in front of me when I say this stuff, but I don't. But I can tell you that when it comes to that,
this is a podcast. Who's listening aside from Kenan Thompson?
Right?
I assume.
What up, Kenan? The point is, when it comes to something like schools, you know, a few years ago, people would have said, I want to save me property taxes. I don't want to spend more in schools. Now they're more the mindset that they're willing to pay more taxes for schools, but that doesn't seem to carry over to roads for whatever reason. Gas taxes, I mean, just one of those things. People watch those gas prices like a hawk.
Like a hawk. That's my hawk impression.
What up with that?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Anyway.
It was only a matter of time before one of us did a bird impression on the podcast.
Well, this is what happens when Laurel is not here. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
Come for the state politics explanations, but stay for the subpar ornithological impersonations when you subscribe for new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other fine podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.
With that.